Hello, everyone. Welcome to Beautiful from the Inside Out. I'm your host, Frida Corporan. My regular co-host, Amanda Scaccazzo, could not make it this evening, but hopefully we'll be hearing from her on our next show, scheduled for sometime in the beginning of December. For those of you who are new to the show, a little bit about me. I'm a certified transformational life coach, and my website is called Reawaken Beautiful, which is focused on empowering women to reawaken their individual uniqueness for living a results and purpose-driven life. This show, Beautiful from the Inside Out, is an extension of that mission. And the goal of this show is really to talk freely about topics that we have all faced. And by gaining more awareness about our challenges and struggles, we ultimately gain mastery over those things that initially looked overwhelming for us. So the hope is really to understand how our obstacles are actually necessary to our personal evolution. It's all about uncovering those parts of you, you know, the complex, the non-complex, the funny, the crazy, the goofy, the not so neat, right, parts of you, and just have that beauty come out into the forefront. So I want to start out, the topic for today's show was about forgiveness. And I want to start out by forgiving myself for the technical difficulties that we experienced at the beginning of this show. I was planning on having a guest co-host and that didn't work out. So I've had to upload this audio, and there was some dead space. So I want to apologize for all of you, who were calling in live. But you know, it's forgiveness time. So, hopefully this will be an informative show. So the topic was selected at the end of the last show, sort of as a fluke, but not quite. It's something that is a very interesting topic. I wouldn't say that it's necessarily controversial, but it's a polarizing topic. And I was thinking, you know, it's the holiday season. It's the end of 2015. We're on the verge of, you know, this new year, 2016. And it reminded me of, you know, that old PSA on TV about knowing where your children are. It was like, you know, it's the end of 2015. Do you know where you are? Or do you know where blank is? You know, and you can fill in the blank with whatever, whomever in your life that it is that you want to reconnect with and or let go of, right? So this whole idea of resentment and how it holds you back from living this, you know, really colorful, purposeful, flourishing life, you know, that became the theme for me. And so it's like, ultimately, you know, who do you forgive? And most importantly, can you forgive yourself? So the first question that I'm going to ask all of you today is, what or whom in your life are you ready to have completion with and or move forward with, right? So, I mean, it's a weighty question. And, you know, the definition of forgiveness is in itself very weighty. You know, it has all the symbolism, you know, with connection to value and, you know, this heft. And So the Merriam-Webster defines forgiveness, and I'll give you both definitions. You know, to give up resentment of or claim to requital for, right? So forgive an insult, or to grant relief from payment, to forgive a debt. So there's something about it that connotes to something being taken away from you. You know, what does forgiveness mean to you? And, you know, forgiveness really ranges in, you know, what it is that we are resentful about or for. But just talking about it, you can feel that weight. You can feel how much it makes people feel. And, you know, I heard this great quote, and anyone who listens to the show knows that I love quotes. But I heard this great quote that's very visual, and it makes perfect sense. And you feel, you know, what it is to be kind of caught in this resentment. So it's a quote by Lewis B. Smeads, and I hope I'm saying the name right, but the quote goes, "To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was you." So, you know, think about it. I mean, you're probably sitting there either consciously or unconsciously, kind of in this state of non-forgiveness, right? Or non-forgiving. And it's got an everlasting effect on your quality of life, whether you know it or not. And it affects everything in your life. It affects everyone that you come into contact with, and whether that is, you know, your friends, your immediate family, right? Like your spouse, your children, your colleagues at work, strangers. You just become this living embodiment of all that is the opposite of forgiveness, right? And forgiveness is ultimately love and the ability to let go. So think about what comes to mind when you think about the opposite of forgiveness. So, you know, it's anger, resentment, fear, insecurity, hurt, and sometimes people just are not even aware of this state of resentment because they physically and emotionally shut themselves off from having any kind of, you know, feeling about it either way. So sometimes people are very glib about it. It's very conditional. Forgiveness is very conditional to them. And I found this really great grid of a listing of motives of, you know, why people will forgive, right? It's not something that freely comes to them. It's something that's conditional upon having or getting some sort of receipt of something else. So think about it, you know. It's a common feeling to have feelings of this, like revenge, you know, after and, you know, the expectation is that, you know, after you seek out this revenge, you know, you feel like this score settled, right? And, you'll forgive the person once they apologize to you. So it's conditional upon getting something in return. Or it's some sort of obligatory thing that you've learned from your childhood, you know. It's like, I've been taught to forgive and forget. You know, my parents, they turn the other cheek. It's something that I've learned in my religion. But there's something about it that's not real. It's almost superficial, right? In a sense, because it's not something that comes freely. It's conditional again. And then this one is very familiar. It's, you know, it's like you look good, you know, by taking the high road, and you like you pretend that everything's fine, and you know, you secretly hold a grudge, right? Or you say, I'm going to take revenge at some other later date. So that's not what you're looking for either. You know, you're looking for the end goal, which is to have some sort of compassion and empathy, right, for the person who's harmed you or hurt you in some way. And your motivation would be pure and authentic and all about your level of being able to express love and give love and receive love, right? So some explanation related to our, you know, biological and primal responses, you know, is that we and our brain really reacts to perceived threats. So, you know, we're not back in, you know, the wild fighting for our life, but our brain is set up to kind of create or avoid, you know, threats, right? So anything perceived as a threat, just, it's, you know, it's our basic strategy for survival. And so there's a great book that I recommend to anyone. It's called Buddha's Brain, The Practical Neuroscience of Happiness, Love, and Wisdom. And doctors Rick Hansen and Richard Mandias really explain that there are, you know, three fundamental strategies, you know, that have helped us pass our genes along. But in the long run, it's left us in a world where we're constantly struggling, you know, where we're constantly seeing these threats that are really perceived and not real, but it's, you know, part of just how our brain functions. And so anything that we consider unpleasant is a, you know, a threat. And so, you know, I don't want to minimize people's experiences, because the range of, you know, the things that we consider insult are very, you know, vary. So, you know, you can have something that maybe, you know, as an onlooker, you can say, well, that's sort of petty. But I mean, we've all been in that situation. So, you know, situations where, you know, maybe someone was a little rude to you, and maybe they didn't say hello in the elevator, or they didn't look at you. And you kind of create this story in your head about how you've been insulted and how you've been put upon and how you've just been treated, you know, very shabbily. So, you know, it can run from that to, you know, someone just kind of being, you know, really shady and maybe stealing your ideas at work, or, you know, I had a situation happen like that, at a prior position, where I think the boss took some kind of catchy, you know, catchphrase that I had kind of thought of, and she used it during a presentation. And, you know, I think I was so upset, and usually I don't tell people what I'm feeling, but at this particular moment, I just like created a whole story about what an evil, vindictive person this was, or, you know, just kind of like a person with no integrity. And then I think I confronted her about it, and she said, I honestly thought it was my idea. So, I mean, we have to be very mindful that the story that we're telling ourselves is not maybe really what's happening. So again, that comes down to communication. So what I'm saying is it ranges to something, you know, maybe sort of minimal that you can handle with communication, you know, at the onset of, you know, the perceived insult. And then there are things that are, you know, that go on a deeper level, go to a deeper level, such as, you know, something that you really have to recover from, childhood trauma, childhood abuse, that you can't just, you know, jump to the state of forgiveness. I mean, it's something that really takes years. And it's interesting. I asked a friend, you know, I had been conducting surveys with friends about, you know, the topic of forgiveness, because it doesn't really, you know, come up for people unless they're asked. So she made a great comment, because she said, you know, it's forgiveness is something you don't necessarily jump to, but you arrive at. And I think that's such a deep and thoughtful response. So in those cases, it's all about, you know, taking a look at yourself and how you can forgive yourself, and move on, and really have awareness for the feelings that are involved, in how you're, taking in, right? And when I say take in, how your body is responding to, you know, memories of these things that are really living inside of you. So forgiveness is really, and I'm quoting Judith Orloff, who's an MD, and she's a best-selling author of Emotional Freedom, Liberate Yourself from Negative Emotions and Transform Your Life. And she says that forgiveness is a paradigm-shifting solution for transforming anger. I mean, so think about it that way, you know, when you break it down. It liberates you from the trap of endless revenge so that you can experience more joy and connection. Forgiveness does more for you than anyone else, because it liberates you from negativity and lets you move forward. Forgiving might not make anger totally dissolve, but it will give you the freedom of knowing you are so much more. I think that's great. I'll share a little story with you about my almost like my adventure towards forgiveness. And, you know, I was always like I guess a proud, quiet person, and usually quiet people, have issues expressing themselves. I won't generalize, but in my, case, because I live in my head a little bit more, it was hard for me to express, you know, if I was angry, if I felt, you know, hurt, or if I felt isolated. So in cases like that, where you're just not used to expressing your feelings, your emotions, and asserting yourself in what it is that you want or need, you sort of build up this baggage, right? And the baggage comes from really not feeling heard. So, you know, with every little hurt or perceived hurt, and I'm going to use that term or phrase, it's a perceived hurt, because it's, you don't know what's happening unless you're having a dialogue with another human being. So you're just kind of having your own monologue about how things happen. And you realize that somehow you've been wronged, and you build up this story, and then you build up a lot of resentment, because it's almost like you're never being heard. And so, you know, I don't know if you've had this case where you feel like you're building a case against someone. And that's that's really rough, because you'll always find something wrong with the other person if you're constantly judging. And that brings me to, actually, before I tell you kind of my personal story, it brings me to Iyanla Vincent's forgiveness book, 21 Days to Forgive Everyone for Everything. She talks in the book about judgments. And when you're sitting in judgment of others, you will have a hard time. And so I wanted to share kind of briefly her story. She mentions that she had a brother that she absolutely loved. He was a very brilliant person, very caring, very gentle, just kind of like a joy to be around. But he experienced issues with substance abuse. And when he was sort of on drugs, he was not the nicest person in the world. And for her, she just initially just went into judgment mode. She thought, you know, this guy, you know, she was sort of done with him. You know, she had these, you know, years of late night telephone calls, and she would scream at him, and it was just kind of like an endless battle for her. And so she basically said, don't ever speak to me again until you are, you know, free and sane and sober. And so he chose not to speak to her for over 5 years. And in that time, she really had to reflect on what it is about his actions that were so confronting for her. And so, you know, I ask you, is there anything that you are being triggered by when you're feeling out of control, and when you're feeling angry, and when you're feeling in that state of kind of resentment? So what she realized was, in this exploration that she did, was that she recognized that she had not an addiction to drugs, but she had her own addiction of kind of being in control and always being right. So kind of that opening up of that compassion was able to kind of put things into perspective for her. And she saw that, you know, negative reactions from us that lead to, you know, resentments and judgments and that sort of thing, they had to do with how we feel about ourselves. And, you know, she talks about three primary judgment issues, and I'm going to share that with you. The first, she says, we cannot tolerate the same behavior or characteristics in ourselves. So think about it. Sometimes, and you know, I heard this in one of the classes that I've taken in the past, is that sometimes that person that really irks you or bothers you, there's something about them that you recognize in yourself. So what is it that you're harboring about that person? And think about it. You know, sometimes you'll say, oh, that person's so pushy, or that person's so arrogant, or that person is so weak or spineless, or, you know, doesn't take any action, or, you know, it could be, there's so many feelings that are triggered, right? So many emotional responses. So think about that. Think about how you are responding to other people. What is your judgment issue with that person? The second point that she brings up is, you know, sometimes we are unaware that we behave in a certain way, and that way that we interact with them has an impact on the behavior of others. And she goes on to say, you know, we disown it and project the behavior onto others And dislike it out there. Whenever we experience dislike, upset, or anger about how someone is being who they are, we've got to ask ourselves how and under what circumstances am I prone to behave the same way? So, what is it that you're not willing to look at? So take an honest look and determine, what it is that you're not accepting about yourself, you're not forgiving about yourself. So that's just another tip about, just being a little bit more self-aware. And the third is, sometimes we're envious and resentful of other people. And so, I say it kind of cringing because it's not nice. It's not clean, right? We try to find fault in others, and it's because of some sort of envy about, what it is that they're doing. And so she goes on to say, we judge people in order to make them wrong about who we are and what we have not created for ourselves. So when someone attains a certain level of success or recognition, it reminds us of a lack of confidence or success in our own life. So again, these are just little points that she brings up about self-awareness. What is it that is triggering that judgment about other people? So that's just another way that you can get closer to those feelings that are buried down deep. What are those triggers? What are those behavioral patterns that are holding you back, that are standing in your way of being lifted and being free of that prison that you've created of resentment? So the opposite of forgiveness. So why do people have a hard time forgiving? And I've asked myself that question, and I haven't forgotten my personal story, so I'm going to go back to that. But, what is it about it that people have a hard time with? And it's almost like, we feel like someone got something over on us, right? Like it's we're condoning something. We're not holding people accountable for, and we're letting them off the hook. We're somehow being tolerant of them. They're getting away with murder. So again, that's us trying to make people be wrong. So now I'm going to come to my kind of conclusion of, how I became aware of the whole idea of forgiveness from a totally different perspective. So I learned about forgiveness by asking other people to forgive me. So this happened about a few years ago. I took a class, and a lot of the exercises in the class were about, being very bold and doing things that were, uncomfortable. And so one of the exercises was to reach out. So to kind of backtrack a little bit, the whole point was about, you as a person, how can you be whole and complete in the world if you have kind of baggage out there? And, for those of you that, want an example, there are people that go around saying that they're loving, they're happy, they're so excited. And then when they get on the phone with their parents, they're screaming at them, right? So there's sort of a disconnect. There's something that is not in integrity. And when I say in integrity, I mean, there's something that's not whole and complete about the person. So in one aspect of their life, they seem like they've got it all together, but then in another aspect of their life, there's something a little amiss. So the exercise was all about, how do you become a whole and complete person in your life? And what are aspects in your life that you need to kind of come into? How do you make it congruous, right? Versus incongruous to what's going on in your life. So the exercise was all about reaching out to people that you had had a falling out with. And just the thought of it is frightening alone. But the whole point of the exercise was to get them out of the equation. So say you know, you had a fight with your mom and she said, you know, you were a horrible daughter. The point of the exercise was to realize that what was it that you wanted? You wanted the relationship with your parent. So if you want to make peace with that parent, you've got to let go of that kind of blaming them for their part in it. So you had to take onus or ownership, accountability, however you want to say it, responsibility for your part in the breakdown of the relationship. So this extended to family, to friends, to people that you hadn't spoken with. And so one, you're doing something that's scary, right? And then two, it's even scarier because you have to not be right. You know, you can't make other people wrong for their part or the part that they played in how something broke down. And so the challenge was to call, you know, over, you know, however many people in your life during a lunch break. And so every lunch break was like everyone in the class had to call people and tell them how, you know, how they were sorry and how they were asking for forgiveness. So think about it that way. I mean, can you be bold enough, brave enough, courageous enough to take that kind of stand and say, you know what, I want this relationship so much that I'm willing not to be right about it. I'm willing not to get any kind of reciprocation back for whatever I'm putting out there. And Gandhi has said it, forgiveness is not for the weak, it's for the strong. So in this exercise in particular, it was really something to behold because it was really changing the paradigm of forgiveness in the sense that there's it's not like you have the power to make anything happen by being right. You have the power by creating a different scenario. So you're forgiving through asking for forgiveness. So that was for me a mind-blowing exercise. And you know, as I was mentioning before, you know, for a person that kind of holds things in and makes people wrong for things and makes mental notes and files about everything that everyone's ever said or did or done or what they're going to do, it was a really life-changing exercise. So after that, I think I got back into contact with three people that I hadn't spoken with in over 5 or 10 years. So, I mean, what are you willing to do today? I mean, are you willing to take that sort of step, that sort of leap? And again, this is a leap exercise versus a going to moving or transitioning slowly to. This is a kind of a very bold move. So, you know, think about that as another option for how you want to kickstart 2016 with this whole, you know, forgiveness as you taking ownership and you taking responsibility. A lot of, you know, what people got in the classroom was, you know, people had been waiting. So think about it this way too. Sometimes you know, we're afraid to be forgiven, and we'd rather be angry and angry at the other person than admit our part in it. So, I mean, it comes to mind the story of, you know, one of the people, you know, shared during his, you know, his time to share after lunch. And he said, you know, I spoke to an old girlfriend, and the first thing she did, I think he hadn't spoken with her in like 5 years. And the first thing she did was she cried, and she said she had been waiting for his phone call. And so think about how another person is sitting in regret and pain because they're waiting for something from you too. So you can give them that gift that maybe you've been wanting from other people. So, that was a very interesting exercise, a very life-changing exercise. And I recommend that to people who want to take a bold step and be ready. I mean, be ready for people not wanting to hear that. They might not be where you are, in terms of kind of that evolution of where you want to be in life. You know, like you want to be a proactive person versus a reactive person. So you're taking those steps or measures to really tell people what it is, assert, right? Like assert what it is that you want in your life. So, I mean, that was really an important step for me in learning what forgiveness was from the perspective of asking for forgiveness versus forgiving. So I actually wanted to share a story that I read online that was like so beautiful and so moving. And it really showcases, you know, what forgiveness truly is and how it can make an impact in another person's life. So where did I see this story? I saw this, The Ancient Heart of Forgiveness. And I saw this on the Greater Good, Berkeley EDU article. So I'm going to read the article to you. A young kid, 14 years old, wanted to get into a gang. The way that he proved himself to enter the gang was to shoot somebody. It was an initiation rite. He shot this kid he didn't know. He was apprehended, brought to trial, and at the end of the trial, convicted. Just before he is taken away in handcuffs, the mother of the boy who was shot stands up, looks him in the eye, and says, "I'm going to kill you," and then sits down. After being in prison for a year or so, the boy is visited by that mother, and so he's sort of frightened. She says, "I've just got to talk with you." They have a little bit of a conversation, and she leaves him and says, "Do you need anything?" "Cigarettes." And she leaves him a little bit of money. She starts to visit him and goes every few months, and over the course of 3 or 4 years, she starts visiting him more regularly, talking to him. When he's about to get out, at the age of about 17 or 18, she asks, "Where are you going to go? What are you going to do?" And he says, "I have no idea. I got no family, no nothing." And she says, "Well, I've got a friend who has a little factory. Maybe I can help you get a little job." So she arranges that with the parole officer, and then she asks, "Where are you going to stay?" And he says, "I don't know where I'm going to stay. I don't know where I'm going to go." And so she offers a spare room, and she can and offers that he can stay with her. So he comes and he stays in the spare room, takes the job, and after 6 months she says, "I really need to talk to you. Sit down and let's talk." So she looks at him and she says, You know, remember that day in the court when you were convicted of murdering my son for no reason at all, to get into your gang? And I stood up and I said, I'm going to kill you. And he said, you know, yes, ma'am. I'll never forget that day. And so she looks back at him and says, you know, well, I have. And you see, I didn't want a boy who could kill in cold blood like that to continue to exist in the world. So I set about visiting you, bringing you presents, bringing you things, and taking care of you. And now I let you come into my house, and I got you a job and a place to live because I don't have anybody anymore. My son is gone, and he was the only person that I was living with. I set about changing you, and you're not the same person anymore. But I don't have anybody, and I want to know if you'd stay here. I'm in need of a son, and I want to know if I could adopt you. And he said yes. I mean, that was just such a powerful story of forgiveness, because it demonstrates that with love, you can transform someone, but you can transform yourself. I mean, she was in a state of pain, mourning, grief. I mean, the most devastating thing that could happen to a mother, to lose her son and to lose him in such a way, you know, such a cold and needless, senseless way. And the fact that she set about, you know, changing someone's life through her forgiveness. So, I mean, that's an extreme case. It's a beautiful story, and hopefully it's touched someone out there like it touched me. I mean, hearing that story. But think about, again, you know, what actions you can take. Is it the action of reaching out to someone? Is it the action of asking for forgiveness? Is it the action of giving forgiveness or granting forgiveness? Is it, you know, taking steps to take care of yourself, to forgive yourself and make those connections? See what those emotional triggers are for you. What are those behavioral patterns? Where can you see where you've buried any feelings that you have had, whether they be negative or just uncomfortable, and just let yourself get to the point where you don't really express yourself and you're really hurting yourself and becoming that prisoner. We keep hearing that it's that symbolism of being in a cell behind bars, being imprisoned. And how can you liberate yourself? So first and foremost, how can you take those actions to really become free of what's holding you back? So again, is it a personal story? Is it any kind of trigger from your childhood? What can you do today to take the action that you need to take to move ahead and move forward and be a little lighter, right? Be a little brighter. There's a great poem that I read at the beginning of the forgiveness book, and it's called it's an Everyday Wisdom by Paul Farini, and it goes, everything that happens to me is part of the plan for my awakening, including those challenging events that force me to shift out of my inertia and self-limiting behavior patterns. From the depth of my soul, I call out for growth. I pray to be released from my burdens and to discover and express my gifts. From deep within my pain, I call for peace. From deep within my codependency, I call for the courage and the freedom to be myself, to forgive myself, and to forgive all others. what's interesting about that is, you know, the level at which you can forgive others is correlated to how you forgive yourself. So, you know, if you're there and you're beating yourself up and nothing you do makes sense to you, nothing you do makes you happy, nothing you do is good enough, right? You're striving for this perfection. Can you imagine what that does for your relationships? Like, no, if you're not good enough for yourself, no one's going to be good enough for you. And I think that's, you know, true for people that you see who are very healthy and full of self-love. They attract that. And so we're going back to, what is it that you're doing for yourself? What is it that you're putting out there? What is it that you're projecting into the world? And how is it manifesting back to you? So what are some of the things that you can do today? I mentioned, you know, some of the actions. You can take really bold actions. You can start small. You know, Iyanla Van Zandt has a description of, you know, really identifying tools in your life that you can start working with. So she talks about these emotional triggers, you know. So start with four statements. So, you know, this is how you start small. So you say, you know, I believe I am. And so you can have these different distinctions, different definitions, different words that come up for you. So, you know, some of the words that she comes up with are, you know, abandoned, accusing, aggressive, ambitious, anxiety, ashamed, absent-minded, addicted. So you get the point. So, you know, do you believe that you are, that she is, that they are? So, you know, you can apply that to anyone in your life. I think, I feel, I anticipate, I avoid. And so plug in as follows. Like, what is it that you're avoiding in life? What is it that you're anticipating? What is it that you're feeling? Again, we're trying to get to the depth of what it is that you're feeling. So we want to recognize it. Again, have that awareness. And so ask yourself a few questions, you know. So some of the questions that I came up for myself when I was doing this kind of homework for myself was, how are these old resentments that I'm feeling, how is it serving me? You know, what opportunities have I missed because I'm holding on to this? What value can be found in anger, in resentment? So how is it serving you? How are you getting where you need to go, holding on to this, being in that cell, being in that prison? It's interesting. A lot of people believe that circumstances, obstacles are just, you know, just unfair. So changing also how you believe in things. So I learned this great tautology. You know, some people use, you know, the effect of words are so powerful, you know, the way you use language. So most people will say, you know, I had this, but, you know, there's always like a but. There's always this hesitation. There's always something that's not good enough. So if you say, I had this problem and I'm going to take these steps to make it happen. So start being conscious of the words that you use as well. Are you action-oriented? Are you using words that are all about, you know, okay, you know, I'm optimistic, I'm positive, this is just kind of to be expected, and I'm going to move forward. Again, and I'm going to move forward. So changing how you think, how you speak. So also body work. We did a lot of this in coaching, or we do a lot of this in coaching. And Iyanla talks about it, and I have to read about it some more. But she talks about, you know, doing an exercise where she frees emotional sort of blockages using a meridian-based therapy. But for people that are new to this, but maybe you feel more comfortable with meditation, sit down, you know, in a quiet place, and have your journal and really start listening to your body. Sometimes your body, you can ask your body. It sounds kind of unique. It sounds interesting. It sounds different for people that are not used to this type of work, but sit down, close your eyes, and really ask your body where does it feel the pain? Where does it feel the resentment? Where does it feel the anger? And you'll be surprised that your body will tell you where it is. And so really be conscious. If you can't, let's say, use your words, use your body to tell you, to help you really identify what it is that you're feeling. Sometimes, you know, people are more visual, some people are more physical, some people are more, you know, tactile, right? So depending on what you feel comfortable with, just practice however you can practice to get closer and get more aware in your body. So Journaling is also very important. I actually used to journal a great deal when I was younger, and then I stopped. And I have a friend who, it's funny, the person that I was going to have on the call earlier today, she could have shared some of her stories about journaling, but you know, she journaled nonstop. I mean, it was daily. I mean, we'd go out to the movies and she'd bring her journal. And for her, that practice of really letting out onto paper what she was feeling throughout the day was a very liberating experience for her. And it was very just a stable, right? It was a stabilizer for her. And I think when she got married, she just stopped the practice. It was something that, you know, just didn't take. It wasn't like first and foremost in her mind. And she said to her husband one day, "I need to get back to this." And she started journaling again regularly. And you know, it just helps you, however you can and will need to express yourself, do it. So again, you know, just to recap some of the things that you can do. Be bold. Don't feel uncomfortable with the actions that you're going to take. It's all about listening to your body, listening to your deepest desires and what it is that you want, right? So if you want to make peace with your body and you want to let go of resentment and anger and all that good stuff or bad stuff, ask yourself, you know, what is it that you need to do to get yourself to that point? So it should never be something that makes you feel uncomfortable. So if you're ready to take the risk and the leap, right? So it's leap or edging close. So however it is that you want to take that next step, take that next step. Again, meditation is great. Being in a quiet setting, it's a hard practice at first, but then it becomes something that is very, very natural. So meditation, closing your eyes, visualizing, journaling, these are all methods that you can practice to get you to that place where you can really realize those things that are holding you back. So again, start by forgiving yourself first, because the practice of compassion starts with the self, right? So we're actually almost done with the show. And just some housekeeping notes. The next show that is scheduled, the next Beautiful from the Inside Out, is scheduled, I believe, the first Tuesday of next month, which is December 1st. But if it doesn't work out, we'll make sure to let you know. The next show that's scheduled on the Blog Talk Radio is Your Best Life Now with Jan Jaffe, Sim Segal, and Entrepreneurship. So that sounds like a really interesting show. And so I just want to leave you with these words. You know, forgiveness is freedom, because it's all about letting go of what's holding you back, right? It's a really simple idea. It's actually harder to achieve or accomplish than it is to say it, because it's all about practice. It's something that's unnatural for us. It's a muscle that we have to build. And, you know, I ask everyone to, you know, be compassionate with yourself. And if you can't do it for anyone else, do it for yourself. And you will see the effects of your practice going out into the world little by little, and you'll see those improvements. So just as a recap, you know, start with those little exercises, recognizing what it is that you, how you say things, what you do, what triggers you, journal it, write it down. When something bugs you, ask yourself. That's all a part of being aware. Ask yourself, why did that bother me? Why am I so upset because someone didn't say hello? I mean, it's like really taking those steps to do your homework about yourself. The more you know about yourself, the more aware you are, the more successful you will be out in the world. And again, it's all about the mission, which is to see that obstacles are opportunities, right? It's using the and in life. This was rough, and I'm going to get through it. So I'm going to leave you on that note. It has been a great show. Again, my apologies for the audio technical issues that we had at the beginning. I hope you enjoyed this show, and I look forward to speaking with you next time on the next topic. But if you have any questions or are interested in future episodes and topics, feel free to reach out to reawakenbeautiful@gmail.com. And I hope to hear and speak with you soon. Thank you so much.